So several weeks ago, I shared that sometimes it's easier to hear a difficult truth through stories, sometimes children's stories. And I shared two children's stories with you. And a number of you have asked about those and asked if I could give those to you. And then also last week, a number of folks have asked for a copy of my personal statement of faith. So I've printed those out if you want those. They'll be up here after the service. And so two times in a row, or almost in a row, I had kind of shared stuff that's somewhat personal with you. And it made me start thinking, when I was thinking about the power of metaphor, and something I've written in the past that I decided I wanted to share with you. It turns out that not long ago, I was right on the cusp, and I mean cusp, of landing a giant book deal with big-time signing bonus, all that great stuff. I'd gone through the marketing board. I'd gone through the reading board. I'd gone through the executive board. And then it was with the same company that Brian McLaren publishes with, so there was prestige there. And we were ready to roll and had to just get that final stamp of approval from the parent company. And the title of the book happened to have the word geek in it. And she just decided that she didn't think people liked the word geek. And they axed my book, which is sort of ironic because the name of the parent company's Hatchet. So they axed my book. Guess I should have saw that one coming. But I do have some writings from that book left over. And I decided that I wanted to do a little book reading for you here today. Matter of fact, I'm going to do it in two parts. I'm going to do one today and one next week. So if you like it, good news, you can hear it next week. If you don't like it, good news, you got a Sunday off. So the title of the book was actually Geek Lessons, What Christianity Can Learn from Geeks. The title of the chapter that I'll be sharing today and next week is actually the final chapter, and it's entitled Be Prophetic, Even If You Have to Use Metaphors. I start with a couple of quotes. The first from Matthew, then he told them many things in parables. And then the next from geek god J.J. Abrams. When there's an authentic mystery, as opposed to just a question being asked, that's what makes you lean forward. And as you'll hear going through this, there's some titles of sections, and so I'll just read those and continue. The title of this section is Captain Kirk Saved My Life. So I grew up in a small southern town in the 70s. And racism and sexism and various other isms were all very much alive and kicking. Not just kicking, accepted and possibly even expected. It was and still is a thoroughly conservative town. For that matter, my family was and still is a thoroughly conservative family. One is left to wonder, at least I'm left to wonder, what happened to me? What happened to me? I spend a whole lot of time talking about ending isms and other liberal things. What happened to me? How did that happen? Captain Kirk. That's how it happened. Well, Kirk and Spock and a whole cast of others, Uhura, Sulu, Bones, Scotty, just to name a few of them. Of course, it was more than just a good show. But they are a good example of how something from the geek culture helped me become what I understand to be a better Christian. Not better than you or better than others, but better than the Christian I once was. For a number of us, in terms of changing our lives, and yet fall short. It would be reasonable to make the argument that the church would be considered among the things that people hope will change their lives. It would be equally reasonable to make the argument that the church increasingly fails to do so. Which makes me want to give the statement even more attention. Now, admittedly, as I mentioned, I could have named other geeky things that played a similar role, but Star Trek has a special place in my heart. You see, My first recollection of geeking out about anything was Star Trek, the original series. Now, I'm not quite old enough to have watched it in its original 3-year run, but I did see it in its very first reruns. And one of the things I've come to love about it was the way that it pushed us to new frontiers without bashing us over the head. Story and metaphor soften the blow of moral imperatives for a more fully functioning society based on equality. Being prophetic means speaking the sometimes difficult truths that have put more than a few prophets in personal peril, speaking the sometimes difficult truths to the present, as well as casting a vision for the future. Now, it's important to have read and listened to that closely, that last part of the sentence in particular. It doesn't say that being prophetic is about predicting the future, which frequently is what people think it does. And we geeks are probably to blame with that, with our many storytelling characters from the Lord of the Rings all the way up to Foundation, where we have people predicting the future. But the last line of that sentence says, being prophetic means to cast a vision into the future, a vision of how things should be and not necessarily how they are going to be. In an interview, Star Trek creator Gene Roddenberry once said, I have no belief that Star Trek depicts the actual future. It depicts us now. Things we need to understand and things that we need to understand about that. That is being prophetic. See, from Roddenberry's own perspective, he was doing nothing more than looking at the realities of his time, putting them together in a future context and using them to show and to cast a vision for a better future. And it changed my life. I suspect it changed the lives of quite a few people. It's prophetic behavior within the framework of a metaphor. The truth hurts. Now, oddly, those kinds of truth can be astoundingly hard to hear. You might think, possibly even hope, that those truths would be some of the easiest things to hear, but as the saying goes, the truth hurts. Maybe not so much the truth itself as the way that the reality behind the truth can make us feel like we've been flayed open and put on display for the public. Possibly it hurts because we really do want to be the best us that we can be. And the truth frequently points to the reality of how frighteningly short we can fall of that at times. Now, no matter the reason, the truth really can hurt. And those who want to affect change for the better, well, they need to remember that much. Surgeons don't just start cutting on folks without anesthesia because they discover that a person needs an emergency appendectomy. And they don't usually, and if they do that, it's usually in like a movie of the week or something. And if they do it in real life, it ends up being a movie of the week. However, most of the time, in real life, there's a lot that happens before the incision. Things that make the cut less frightening and less painful. The point is, you need to administer some anesthesia, even if it's just localized, before you go about doing things that might hurt, even if you know that the outcome is for the better. And this is where I think metaphor comes in, at least one among many things. If being prophetic means speaking the truth, and if the truth can sometimes hurt, we need to learn to make it less painful. And please note, I am not saying to make it more palatable or placid or pliable, because at that point it fails to be the truth, the whole truth, and nothing but the truth. And it wouldn't have hurt anyway, so why bother packaging it all up in a metaphor in the first place? Star Trek, like so many things in the world of geek entertainment, spoke difficult truths about society and then imagined a better way for the world. And while those kinds of truths can cut like a knife, it's amazing how much easier they are to handle when they're being told from the safety of some far-off land, place that didn't really exist. For me, it meant my modern-day reality felt much less confronted. I was able to accept it for what it was without feeling insulted or defensive about it. It's a reality that many science fiction and fantasy writers have known for quite some time. Writers from C.S. Lewis to Lewis Carroll all understood. If you want to talk about something that could make people uncomfortable, things that might make them want to step back and distance themselves from it, you do it by using metaphor and storytelling. Make it a mystery of sorts. And like the quote I opened with from J.J. Abrams at the beginning, where there's an authentic mystery, as opposed to just a question being asked, that's what makes people lean forward. And just like that, you go from people wanting to step back to people wanting to lean in. Now, in a smaller way, that's what I was trying to do with the book. Talking about how Christians aren't doing the things that they're supposed to be doing. Well, that's not something that goes over well in most Christian churches. As a matter of fact, not doing what God wants you to do sounds oh so much to most Christians like sin, and most Christians really don't want us talking about sin. Us? Sin? Start talking to us about sinning, and you're likely to be met with a very dismissive, well, good day, sir. So instead, let's talk about geeks. Well, fantastic. Just like that, I hope that people would go from standing back to leaning in. I have a dream. Dr. King stood on the 18th step of the Lincoln Memorial and announced, "I have a dream." And we all leaned in. And we still do. That's what the good prophetic voices do. They speak the sometimes difficult truths, truths that have put more than a few prophets in personal peril, including Dr. King. They speak the sometimes difficult truths to the present and cast a vision for the future. And they use metaphor when they have to. I have a dream. Clearly, Dr. King understood the power of metaphor for speaking difficult truths, and in doing so, the power of metaphor to not only cause us to lean in, but to change us. Gene Roddenberry's Star Trek was my first geeky experience of this reality. The crew who assembled weekly on the deck of the NCC 1701 spaceship Enterprise looked unlike anything that I saw anywhere else in my childhood. It was comprised by people from various nations and ethnic lineages. Each of them were heads of their respected departments, and they were on the bridge because of their abilities and because of what they could bring to the team. The captain, Kirk, showed each of them respect without regard to anything outside of their performance. This was a vision of the future that changed my perspective. This was a dream worthy of dreaming. Maybe it was Roddenberry, not Kirk, that changed my life. Growing up near the city limits of a small town in the South in the late 70s, it shouldn't be surprising to hear that racism was alive and well during my childhood. What I saw of African Americans on television only served to reinforce the image society was teaching. All the roles were stereotypical, which is to say that they were downright insulting. Star Trek was different. On the bridge sat Lieutenant O'Hara. She was an integral part of the team, a person of great intelligence, and she happened to be female and black. That wasn't done on television at the time. This was very much prophetic, and I knew it from the first moment that I saw it, and I wasn't the only one. It turns out, though, after the second season, Nicole Nichols, who played O'Hara, was offered her own Broadway show. And it was basically the dream of her lifetime. And there were rumors at the same time that Star Trek was going to be canceled. And so she made a decision to leave the show. She even turned in her letter of resignation to Roddenberry. Now, in a happy little circumstance, she ran into Dr. King shortly after turning. If that would have just happened a few minutes later, I could have made the big announcement right after. It would have been perfect. She actually ran into Dr. King very shortly after turning in her letter of resignation. Look at that, I did it. And as luck would have it, Dr. King was a Trekkie. He was. And turned out to be one of her biggest fans. And in their conversation, he learned that she had decided to leave the show. Dr. King's response, "You can't leave." He knew the importance of metaphor in telling difficult truths. Star Trek had cast a vision of what the world should look like, and in placing it in metaphor, the difficult truth not only felt safer, but it even felt desirable, possibly attainable. It made us lean forward into his dream. I'd imagine he'd say it wasn't his dream, but God's dream. But it made us lean forward into it. Nichols went back to Roddenberry, who had already torn up her letter of resignation, and told him about her experience with Dr. King. And literally, with a tear in his eye, Roddenberry simply said, "Thank God somebody finally understands what I'm trying to do." This is your chance to respond to the Scripture or to the message today, or to those who have thoughts that they would like to share. David.
Thank you, David, and I thank you again for your message.
Thanks, Dave.
And you'll be happy to know that during the break, I got a message on my cell phone from Harry Seldon telling me that next week's talk is going to be really good.
Great. Did he use all of his numbers to figure that out?
and I also talked with Mark before this session, and he said that we are all invited to the imaginary book signing for his imaginary book.
Date to be determined. Are there others?
I have to, as I'm Ralph, I have to admit that I watched a lot of Star Trek over the years and really didn't catch on. And I'm proud of you that you caught it early. But it was when George Takei came to Greensboro and spoke at the Bryan series, that I really, really, really heard the stories about how Guilford College had offered scholarships to some Japanese students during the Second World War, and how they had joined the baseball team and been able to compete with lots of negative pressure during those war years. But I began to understand what's the whole design and purpose and concept of the episodes were.
Yeah.
And it was just so enlightening. And so this was very refreshing this morning, and thank you for it.
Thanks, Ralph. Appreciate it. Are there any others?